stand to our feet and we're going to pray. And we're going to believe God to do something amazing in this meeting this morning, eh? Yeah. I declare and activate the power of God on your life right now. I pray that God would cause an overflow to so happen in your life today, that you would walk out of here with such enthusiasm, such expectation, that God would breathe into your spirit right now, that you'd never be the same again. I thank you, God, for the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that literally changes mindsets, renews hearts, renews our spirit, and causes us to take steps of faith. And in Jesus' name right now, Lord, let your anointing fill this place. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, and we thank you, God, that you're not dead, but you're alive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout. Give him a shout. Now, obviously, we're talking about overflow this morning. It's our season of overflow. How many have enjoyed overflow? How many enjoyed Pastor Jesse last week on overflow? Was he better than me? Stink. I heard it was fantastic. And what you've got to realize is that this is a journey. We've had, this is our fourth week, I think, of overflow. Next week, we've got Hamish Betts all the way from Singapore bringing overflow. We just met with him down in Wellington. He is on fire. And I want to tell you right now, it's never about a stagnant. If you're stagnating this morning, time to come alive. You're going to miss out on a revival. God's doing something in New Zealand, man. Come on, come alive. Come alive. Get expectant. Where is this guy here? I just got to say this to you. I forgot your name, sorry. What did he say? Paul. Sorry, Paul. Come out here, Paul. Come out here. Paul, you're in the right place at the right time, Paul. God brought you by the plan of his purpose in your life. And God says you're going to catch something in this place that's going to cause you to step up on another level of expectation of God's incredible power. Lift your hands to the Lord right now as a fresh anointing comes on your life. Paul, I don't know even where you came from. You did tell me, but I'll tell you right now, Paul, where you're going to. God says, I don't even want you looking back to where you came. God says, it's where you're going to. And now anointing gets on you in Jesus' name. And the fire of God burns in your spirit. And I ignite a passionate Holy Spirit evangelistic anointing in your heart right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. You cannot sit down because I'm going to overflow in my, Sharon, you probably can. You've just had surgery. I mean, we're not going to get too legalistic about that. But here's the deal. If you're able to stand, it'd be good if you were standing. And here's what I want to say. Obviously, this season's called overflow. Now, overflow, a lot of people want the overflow. Very few live in it. Very few live in it. I don't want to talk about overflow. I don't want us to be a church that came and had a meeting about overflow. I want us to be a church that lives in the overflow. That when you turn up, God turns up. That we've been singing about it, so why shouldn't it happen in our lives that we turn up with something that's a little bit catchy? Something that's a little bit contagious. I don't want to turn up ordinary. I don't want to turn up boring. I want to turn up with some contagious, enthusiastic God on the inside. In Theos, in God. When you're in God, you should be just something about you. And I prophesy it over you right now. So I'm going to speak this morning because I believe there's a great key to the overflow that many haven't realized. I reckon churches across this nation right now have visited, I don't know how many churches in this nation in Australia in the last, I don't know, month, I've probably been, jeepers, I've probably been speaking to like 40, 50 churches, oh no, more, 150 churches. And do you know, many of those churches are struggling. They're struggling with growth, they're struggling with numbers, they're struggling with division, pastors are burning out. I mean, my God, how do you burn out when you've got the fire of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you? but a real struggle. And I believe it's an attack of the enemy. And I believe right now, I refuse to allow the enemy to take one bit of ground. We're going to take everything God's given to us in Jesus' name. And here's the key. And I've been praying this week. I've been praying while I've been ministering to literally hundreds of pastors in Australia and New Zealand in the last couple of weeks. And here's the deal. Unity is the key. Unity is the key to the overflow in your life. And I want you right now, here's what we've got to do before I preach. Go find someone. Give them a hug that means something. Give them a hug that means something, all right? So just go do that right now. Just go find someone. Give them a hug. Just give them a hug. Love you, girl. Oh, I love you, man. You're a good man, Mike. Now, me first. Yeah, hug him, a hug here, man. Gosh. Hey. Okay. Thank you, Ben. Give these guys a big hand clap. Thank you very much. Let's get into the Word this morning. And let's go on it, all right? Find your seats. Becky Lowe, find your seat, girl. Time to sit down now. Becky's so excited. She's an exciting person, actually, if you get to know her. So many exciting people in this church. Just people that are just, you hang with them and start to connect. And that's what we're talking about this morning, actually, I guess. So what you've got to realize is that our DNA, what we are and who we are, is everything. You've got to catch the culture. That's why we're having a new friends get together after this meeting. How many are coming to the new friends, incidentally? Where are you? Yeah, people who are new in church and coming here, yeah, God bless you. Coming to the new friends, that's fantastic. It's going to be very good. But DNA is not some kind of a John Maxwell thought. It's an actual fact of life that we live in, okay? So I want to take you this morning to Psalm 133, and because we're talking about overflow and we're talking about the things God will do. And here's what it says: behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now we read that like a verse, okay? This is the Bible we're reading, guys. The Bible, okay? God's ultimate truth to generations and generations and generations. Because let me tell you, the church will never die. The church will thrive and survive. Not only survive, it'll thrive. And in this season, get ready for the church to rise up in the nations. In fact, it's happening right now. Don't get left behind. If you're dwelling in nostalgia or something of the past, get over it and start to live in the expectation of what God's doing in this season. It's very easy to get caught up in nostalgia and start to dream of the good old days or whatever they were. But I want to tell you right now, God's about to do a revival in our time and our season and for this generation. God won't allow a generation to come through that doesn't experience an incredible heaven-opened experience and relationship and encounter with God. Every generation has to experience that. And you and I are responsible for actually causing that to happen. So you can't just come to church and sit there like a stuffed dummy. You've got to get excited about what God's doing through you for the next generation. Because otherwise we end up just sitting there in God and, yeah, oh, God's okay and I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I'm bored and I... No, we rise up and we get excited about who we are. That's why we do Vision Builders offerings, not just so we can be some sort of raise some money. We want to see the kingdom expand and we want to learn in it and we want to get bigger and we want to grow wiser and we want to see God do what he wants to do in our generation. So here we go. So let me read that to you again. Maybe you get more. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. That's a frightening word. Dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down upon the beard of Aaron running down to the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing. So what we're saying here, right at the start, he says how good it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. The last part of that passage says, there the Lord commands a blessing. No unity, no blessing. No unity, no blessing. The church in New Zealand is cursed with a lack of unity and therefore lacking the blessing of incredible overflow and growth. And I believe it's time to launch into it. And I'm pretty passionate about this, and I'm going after it like a bull terrier dog that's angry. So we want to see God bring blessing to the church in New Zealand. I don't want to see a generation go to hell. And people will go to hell unless we carry a spirit of unity that ignites the overflow in our lives so people will catch it. No unity, no overflow. So what we're talking here, we're talking about Aaron, and God says, I'm going to pour the anointing oil on you, and I'm going to pour it out. I've got some anointing oil there. Where is it? Let me just get it out, actually. This here especially comes from Jerusalem. I just got it this week, actually, especially from Jerusalem. Boy, if anything... Oh, no, that's my aftershave. Somewhere in here is another bottle. Here it is. Special Jerusalem anointing oil. Anybody want a bit of it on them? Yeah. Look at your nose, don't. No, we're not going to do it. We might do it after. But this is anointing oil. What's it got in it? It's got a bit of something in there. But anyway, that must be the top that's gone inside it. Anyway, this is special anointing oil. It looks like one of those things that holds the glass table off the steel at home, actually. Anyway, this is a special anointing oil that someone has copied the fragrance of the anointing oil that they used in the Old Testament. It was a mixture. It was a combined effort of several fragrances that would produce an incredible... That when they all got together, the fragrance of it was overwhelming. And God wants us to be together in such a way that our fragrance becomes overwhelming in our world, and it causes an overflow of God's presence across our nation. Because God just doesn't want us sitting in a church having a nice... Oh, I lost my notes. Having a nice little meeting. God wants us to be people that literally carry something that is so incredibly powerful it affects everywhere you are. It's called the anointing. And it won't happen without unity. It will not happen without unity. And I think... And he says there, right at the end, he says, look at it. Oh, it's gone. Even life forevermore. Eternity comes through unity that fires us up and causes us to be passionate enough to share it with every person we meet. And we should meet each other and it should be like, yee-haw, pretty exciting. I mean, I met Destiny the other day. Destiny's here, this one, sitting on the front row actually. And I met Destiny the other day and just sharing what my life, and she's passionate. In fact, the day I met you, you'd been 1 year a Christian. That was your birthday. And it was like, yeah, we were celebrating like crazy. Anyway, it's like, it's good to see you today, incidentally. Don't mean to point you out. But I'm just saying, trying to give you something there, that where we go, we're not like weird secret agents that just scared of what we are. We've got an overflow happening. No? An overflow happening. Listen, I don't want to sort of tie this up in too many stories this morning because tell my stories and time's over, but we flew to Melbourne last year to speak to a pastor's conference. I think there were 300 pastors there or something from right across Victoria. And so we hopped on an aeroplane from here and flew to Melbourne, which is a horrible flight, incidentally. It's one of the nasty flights of life because long time. It's 4 hours, not three, to go to Brisbane. Anyway, we're going there, and so I was lucky enough to get an exit row, and so I sat in a lovely exit row, which, how many like the exit row? Yeah, it's like, I love the exit row. In fact, I love the upgrade even better, but the exit row will do, and I sat down in the exit row, and I was traveling with Mark. I don't think, Mark, are you here this morning? No, and Mark was there with me, and so I said, Mark, I don't want to even sit beside you. because you're already a Christian. All right? I've had people come to me and say, I don't like my workplace because there's not enough Christians there. What the heck's wrong with you? Are you boring? Are you dead? Are you scared? Do you have a spirit of fear on you? Liven up a little bit and come alive. You should love the place you work. The more unsaved, the better. Because we're actually there to bring people into a hopeful eternity. Yeah, come on. Anyway, so I'm sitting on the exit row, and in fact, I'm terrible on the airplane. I don't sit down until the plane almost ready to take off, but I was walking around and doing stuff and putting all my bags, because I don't check in any luggage ever. I just put it all up in those lockers up above us there. And then you know how you sit on your exit row on the aisle and you're watching people come down and you say, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, you can sit beside me, no, you can't, yes, you can. And if we had the power of choice, we'd choose the person we wanted sitting there, not the person who God's going to put beside you. Anybody ever done that? Or are you all Christians? Nobody's done that. I do it almost every flight. I want you sitting beside me. I don't want you sitting beside me. I want you sitting beside me. You can, but not you. Has nobody done that? Okay. I do it on every flight. And so down the flight, and I saw someone come down there, walking down the aisle like this, toward, like I'm sitting where Wayne is, and they're coming down the aisle, and I thought, yeah, it'd be nice if they sat beside me, but they walked straight past. And then next thing come down a guy, and his face was just as red as your top is, Destiny. Or as red, probably not as nice a red as that, actually. It was a red like one of these chairs. Oh, shouldn't say they're not nice. They're nice too. Anyway, let's take an offering for some new black chairs. Let's keep going. Okay. So this guy, his face was red. And he was sweating. It's the middle of winter. It's freezing. I was freezing. I was rugged up. I had a scarf on, a jacket on. He's coming down the aisle sweating with a red face and looking really angry. And he's the guy saying, no way are you sitting beside me. And then straight away he turns right and he sits right there. Came in there. And then he had a bag. He tried to put his bag up in the locker. It wouldn't fit because all my gear's taken up the entire two lockers. And so then he got angry. He couldn't put his bag up. And then Mark, God bless him, who's a Christian, he got up and he came around. I didn't even talk to him. Mark came around and said, excuse me, sir, I can see you having trouble with your bag. I'll put your bag up for you. And I thought, boy, that's a real Christian gesture. That's like pay it forward. That's like let's do something. And so God sort of said, what are you going to do? I think some of us, the dilemma is that we don't hear the voice of God. The dilemma is we've blocked out the voice of God. And we need to be hearing clearly the voice of God so that we can activate the power of God and have an overflow happening through our lives. And so, anyway, he's sitting there, and I thought, yeah, well, I should. So I leaned over and shook his hand. And when I shook his hand, well, your hand's so dry. Such a dry handshake. His hands were so sweaty, I thought I'd shook a pound of butter that was melted in the sun for 3 hours. He sort of slipped off my hand. He slipped off. And then I noticed as he slipped off that the fingers stopped there. They were the skin. I looked at my own hand and there was just a heap of skin in my hand. And it was like his fingers already gone from the knuckle. The first knuckle was already gone. And instantly I'm like, leprosy? Because I've read the Bible. So I was like, man alive, I'm going to have to wash the man alive. I didn't want to put it anywhere, you know. And I'm sitting there and he's there and I'm like, man, nice to meet you, Simon. And I probably didn't look as enthusiastic as I should. But nonetheless, as I met him, I felt a weird sensation come over me that I have the living God dwells within me because I dwell in unity with the Father and in unity with the word of God and with prayer and with what's around me. And I felt right then that this is a divine appointment, that I'm seated beside a man who's obviously in a serious struggle in life and fairly upset about it. Anyway, I went to the bathroom and washed my hands before we continued several times, actually. And then I came back and I said, man, Simon, it's so good to meet you, man. I do believe that this is an awesome opportunity that we get to sit together today and chat as we fly to Melbourne. And he said, I'm a Jew. I didn't ask him to give that bit of information, and I thought, that's weird. Why would you? Who cares? Well, some of you might care. Some of you are fairly passionate about the Jews, and I am too, because Jesus was a Jew, all right? Anyway, he said, I'm a Jew. And I said, well, that's cool. And my mother and father are Jews, and we're all Jews. And I said, it just popped out of me, because the overflow. So it pops out. You don't think about it when you're overflowing. You don't think, now, how would I ever turn this into a gospel thing? How would I turn this into a witnessing thing that Pastor Don talked about? Let's get weird and let's get religious here and let's do some weird stuff, okay? So I don't even think about that. So I'm a natural convert. Jesus was the master of conversation. And I reckon if you're in unity, the anointing comes on you to release you into conversation. Because people get awkward around conversations, but unity will produce such an anointing on your life that flows, that the conversation flows out of you. So I just said to him naturally, Mum's a Jew, Dad's a Jew, I'm a Jew. I said, well, you must know Jesus. Which is kind of out there. Because he was a Jew too. That's what I said to him. And he said, we don't believe in Jesus, we're atheists. In fact, we're something generational atheist. We do not believe in a God, we believe in science, man. Science is what it's a. Look at my body, he says. Look at my body, skin peeling off, pityitis or something. Anybody know about that disease? You might know, you deal with skin. Pityitis or something, pityitis something, something, long word. His skin, where your skin reproduces itself, I think, every 7 days, his reproduces itself every 7 hours. So every 7 hours, his entire skin sheds off his body. Bits of his body leave. Incidentally, that's happening to you as you're sitting here anyway. Just be aware of that. You're floating away in the atmosphere as you sit here. That's why we're talking about eternity. That's why you haven't got time to sit around and get bored as a Christian. Live on the edge of excitement. Be passionate about your faith. Anyway, so I get talking to him, and we're going to, and how he's an atheist. And then, you know, I just felt he wants me to get into an argument with him about being an atheist. I've never argued with anybody. It's not worth wasting your time or your breath over arguments, okay? If any of you think it is, you're wasting your time. I thought, I'm not going to argue with you. And he went on and on about being an atheist and how he's written this book and all this stuff about being an atheist. I said, Simon, can I just stop you for a second? And he just stopped for a second. He looked at me. I said, God loves you to bits, man. And I can feel his love right here on this aeroplane. And man, I tell you what, the atmosphere on that aeroplane totally shifted. Totally shifted. I could feel the atmosphere shift. And I knew right then, this guy's going to get born again. From atheist to believer in a 4-hour flight from Auckland to Melbourne. Now that's the anointing of overflow, if we will get into unity. Unity. I believe we can all have it. We can all have it. And I believe God's calling for a greater sense of unity in this church, in our lives, that's why we're a part of an I group. That's why we're a part of a connect group, because it's about unity. It's about people we care for. It's about connecting. That's what it says there, that they dwell together. You cannot have unity if you don't dwell together. That's why I'm coming to conference, Speak Conference 2018. Don't shout me down, you religious people. That's why I'm coming to conference, Speak Conference 2018. Because I want to get into unity. I want to get the Word of God bathing me. I want to catch something with other people that launches something that together, not just me and us four and no more, but together we take something that will transform this nation in Jesus' name. There are people right now on the brink of eternity, like Simon, who I met on the aeroplane. On the brink of eternity, going into a lost eternity, broken, bitter, hurting without Christ. And you and I have got to unlock it. I said, you and I have got to unlock it. No one else is going to unlock it. Are you going to unlock it? We need to be unlocking that in Jesus' name. Is that true? Came here, got totally unlocked by the power of God, born again, on fire. I tell you, God is in the business of unlocking people for eternity. Enroy, that's why you're a chaplain. John, that's why you're a chaplain. That's why the whole lot of the rest of us have got to be equipped to overflow. Anyway, Simon, we get talking. God loves you, Simon. And then he said these words to me. These are the words he said to me, which I thought are interesting. He said, nobody ever talks to me. And I don't blame them. If you had fear ruling in your life, you wouldn't talk to him. You wouldn't touch him. He said, nobody ever talks to me. In fact, people shy away from me. In fact, very rarely do I get the opportunity to have discussion or conversation with people because they seem to be afraid of me. And I thought, thank God for the Spirit in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Because we are not afraid of anything, right? Even though I went and washed my hands. And so there's Simon sitting there. We get into conversation. And then I said, well, Simon, because they're atheists, they don't know Jesus. And I said, well, it's a funny thing, Simon, because this morning I was reading about you in my Bible. And he looks at me like, what the heck have I sat beside here? I said, yeah, in the book of Matthew. And he says, Matthew's my second name. Simon, Matthew, and I can't remember the surname now, but Simon, Matthew, and he says, that's my second name. And I said, Simon, Matthew, you are destined for God to touch you tonight. Today it was. And so then I told him I was reading in the book of Matthew, and I said, there you were, Simon. Jesus was talking to you, Simon. And he said, well, what was that all about? And I said, well, what the story was, I said, Jesus said to Simon, and I looked at Simon, and I said, Simon, Jesus said to you, some people are saying I'm a prophet. Some people are saying I'm a good person. Some people are saying I'm a teacher. Some people are, and I embellished a little bit, some people are saying I'm a scientist. Some people are saying I'm a Big Bang explosion person. Some people are saying I'm a reincarnationist. But who do you say I am, Simon? And Simon just looks at me. He knew that he had walked right into a God moment that would change his life forever. And he just was blank. And I said, well, Simon, you said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And right then, God invaded atheism. God invaded doubt. God invaded fear. And Simon began to weep on that aeroplane. And I said, Simon, what's more, the God that I serve is able to heal you. And I wonder if you'd let me pray with you today. And I got the wonderful opportunity at 30,000 feet to pray with Simon that God would touch his body. And as we began to pray, the presence of God became so incredibly powerful in that aeroplane. Simon said this. He said, I want what you've got. I want faith like that. And so right then I said, well, Simon, it's so easy. Just invite Jesus into your heart. How flipping cool is that? That's the overflow. And that happens when you're in unity with what God wants in your life. Anyway, that was just a quick story that made my iPad shut down. And now we have no clue where we are and it won't start. Sermon must be over. So here's what I want to say, okay? I just want to give you a couple of points on that just real quick, okay? Number one, it's not enough to have unity. It's not enough to have unity, because a lot of people think we have unity when we come together like this on a Sunday morning. That's not unity. That's visiting. Unity is together for the distance, okay? It's knitting together. It's believing that conference, it's believing that I groups, I want to be a part of what God's doing. It's like I want to, Romans 15, 13, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy, the perfect peace as you trust in him, and may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. Don Ramdari, get excited about it, man. It's about to happen. And dynamic, if you talk about just that dynamic hope that the Bible consistently refers to, which is a Greek word for power, which is what Timmy Hall is going to be talking about when he comes here to Speak Conference. We can try to live in the overflow through our own strength if we're not careful, but you can't do it in your own strength. There'll be no overflow in your own strength. We've got to get united with what God's doing in His kingdom right now. Hello, united in what God's doing in His kingdom right now. And how do you do that? You keep your heart right. You get your heart right. How does that happen? Through devotion. How does it happen? Through prayer. How does it happen? Through seeking the face of God. Through getting out in the morning and starting to prophesy over your day. Lord, I pray for divine appointments today because I know You've got Your hand on my life. It's going to be a day of incredible destiny and purpose because I'm overflowing with the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeehaw! Sorry for waking you up. But let's choose to live in the victory that God's won for us, okay? We all need each other. We all need each other. That's just putting it out there. Unity is about we all need each other. And the reality is, yes, we do. Simon needed me to sit beside him. We need each other. And you can be the healing balm in a person's life this week if you just live in the overflow. And I believe God wants us to do that, okay? And that's why I say, the first thing, it's not enough to have unity. We've got to be dwelling, okay? He who dwells. The promise of Psalm 133 really is only for he who dwells. Not he who visits, but he who dwells. And he goes on to talk about dwelling in unity. He talks about the oil running down over the garment and over down to the... And where does it run to, folks? Just tell me, where does it run to? To the hem. Right to the edge. Julia reckons my jeans are too short, but I tell her this is the way they wear them now. But right to there. Got to get up here so you can see it, okay? So right to there the oil runs. How far does the oil get over your life? How far does the oil actually get over your life? Because he says that this is the place where the Lord commands the blessing. I want to see more miracles in this place, guys. I am desperate for more miracles, desperate for more salvation. I am refusing to live in a contained Christian life that just gets along where we get so far, then people, there's rumors and gossips and stuff that ruins the unity. Man, we got to break down all that and just get into unity over what God's doing. There's an anointing in this place. There's a call of God in this place. And there's a destiny on this church to accomplish great things. Many churches never fulfill their destiny because of a lack of unity. And the devil's greatest weapon is disunity. The greatest weapon. I would say the greatest weapon on planet Earth today is disunity, where you get into a place of disaccord. The Bible talks about being in one accord. See, unity, understand this. Unity is just not about trying to heal a friendship or two. Jeepers, that's lightweight stuff. That's old religion from 30 years ago. That's bull. Unity is just not about trying to heal a few broken relationships and make us all nice again. Unity is making sure that every single person has the anointing flowing to the hem of their garment. Unity is about the anointing. Unity is not about, hey, let's get all the friendships happening again today. No, unity is bigger than that. And when we start to think bigger, we accomplish greater things. That's why Jesus said, greater things than these will you do because I go to the Father. You'll accomplish great miracles and see the wonders of God because we live beyond the little narrow thought of friendship. We live in the bigger expectation of God's accelerated anointing right now in our season that releases an anointing that breaks the yoke. Julia's pretty good at breaking the yoke. When she cooks me an egg, she always breaks the yoke so it's easy over and just looking nice, all right? And so never ever think that the unity is about restored relationships. Unity is about multiplication. Just let that sink in for a moment. Unity is about multiplication. So we multiply when unity. See, nobody really talks about it. I hardly ever hear a message about it because nobody really talks about it. But it's about the oil running all the way down right to the hem of your garment. And the oil always represents the Spirit of God. Always represents it. In the Old Testament, they'd pour it over you. They wouldn't just pour a little dot on like we do. They'd pour the whole jug on you and it'd run all over you so it'd get to the hem of the garment. Why do you think it was that one little woman You all know the story. It's called The Woman with the Issue of Blood. Horrible story, really. For 12 long years, struggling through life, spent everything she had, went to the eye group, went to the doctor, whoever he is, of religion, went to the church that believes that's not too excited about the anointing, went to the eye group where the people are half backslidden and almost asleep, went to this group and that group, and the Bible says that she remained in her condition. So she thought, let's ring the senior pastor and see if he can do anything. Let's see if he has an anointing on him. Went to the eye group and nothing happened. Wouldn't happen in this church, of course, but went to the eye group and nothing happened. So the little woman goes to Jesus. She pushes through a crowd, the crowd mentality, the gossip mentality, the mentality that says, I don't know whether God can do it in this day and age. Push through all that mindset and that thinking, oh boy, this is not right. That's not, let's just get into unity and believe for a revival in Jesus' name. Am I preaching too excited? So she presses through the crowd. And where did she go to the senior pastor? Did she go? Where did she touch him, please? Somebody, where did she touch him? The hem of his garment on the edges. Right out on the whoever's looking after the car park. I arrived in the car park this morning. I had disease in my body. My back was totally out of joint and I had extreme pain. And someone in the car park just said, God's going to heal you today. And bingo, they carried the anointing of unity that's in this church. And it went right out to the very fringes, right to the very hem, right to the I group, right to the connect group, and it touched somebody and they got restored right there. That's how God wants his body happening. That's unity, guys. That's unity. When every person carries it right out there, there are people who are desperate, desperate. I heard the other day, I met a guy who, he had a car park, a car dealer, salesman in his church, and the car dealer was selling cars, just selling cars, and a guy came in, and on Sunday, his pastor preached about being an evangelist. The guy comes in to buy a car, didn't like the car and said, no, the car's not mine. He went walking away and God said to the car salesman, just an ordinary car, tell him that this is his day of destiny. Weird thing to say, maybe. I don't know what you think. I think it's awesome. So he says, excuse me, sir, before you run away, I know you're not buying the car, but this is your day of destiny. And the guy says, what do you mean? And he says, well, God just told me that he loves you and he has an incredible plan for your life. And they were a little embarrassed about praying, so they pretended. The guy says, listen, I really need, I've been searching for some hope. I need Jesus. So they kneel down, pretending to look at the car tire, and they kneel there for quite some time while he leads him to Jesus, and he gives his heart to Christ, okay? Day later, he decides, boy, that was awesome what happened yesterday. Wonder how the guy's going. He tried to ring him, couldn't get him. A week later, he tried to ring him again. Finally, on one of the numbers that he had signed up on a sheet with, he finally got through. And a woman answers the phone and he says, listen, I'm just phoning up to see how Jim was. And where's Jim? Can I speak to Jim, please? And she said, I'm very sorry, sir. Jim passed away 4 days ago. And he said, wow. Like, she said, hang on, is your name Ian? And he said, yeah, my name's Ian. And he said, you know, Jim came home raving about you, Ian, because he said that you introduced him to Jesus Christ, and that night he was celebrating being a Christian and how this was the beginning of his new life, and he had a massive heart attack that night and passed into eternity. We have people who are on the brink of eternity who don't have tomorrow. We've got to be flowing in the anointing. We've got to be the edge that they can connect with wherever they are, so that they'll connect with the love of God. Amen? I've got to stop right now. So God just doesn't want to flow over the exec team. That's what I'm trying to say. He wants to flow over everybody, okay? Not about talent. Forget your talent. Forget your talent. God doesn't care about talent. He cares about unity, all right? Because when we flow together, your position, your role, we get so tied up in roles and positions and all that bull. This church has been cursed with roles and positions. Dump your position or we'll sack you. And get excited about serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a whole heart that just loves God. Amen. Just waiting for an amen on that one. Okay. So it's the edges, all right? Always realize it's the edges. She touched Jesus at the edge, not at the head. Man, I have people ringing me, you know, Don, we want to come and see you. What the heck do you want to come and see me for? Oh, Julia will tell you that I'm no better than, oh, I'm trying to pick on, well, I've got to be careful who I pick on here now. I've got to pick someone nice to say that. Dave Pearson, one of the nicest people in Inspired Church. Now, I'm no better than Dave. People think I am, so they ring me up. Don, you need to pray for us. No, get Dave to pray for you. Because he's in unity and got the oil flowing in Jesus' name, okay? So get that and understand that today. And I know we need to stop, so I'm going to just say this. The enemy wants to undermine unity because it's so important for the growth of this church and the growth of the kingdom of God. And that's his number one thing. Some people think unity is a medicine. You go to the medicine cabinet and pull out a bit of unity and it fixes a few relationships. No, unity is a God-given, destined acceleration agent that will thrust churches and the kingdom of God in this nation onto a new level. And I really believe this stuff. And I'm telling you, I am passionate about it. Passionate. The greatest sign of unity, the greatest sign of unity that will ever happen in your life is when you personally start to hear stories about the goodness of God happening in your community. Greatest sign of when we've got you sitting right there. That's the greatest sign of unity, when a church can actually come together and cause people to discover the beautiful presence. Right there, miracles, healed back, that's unity. And and there's my last point, all right? Unity is a spiritual principle. Just giving you this, because forgiveness is part of it. And this is why Matthew 18, forgiveness is such a huge thing, because God's not trying to repair relationships, God's trying to restore the flow. God's trying to, you know, because it's never about, you know, it's weird, people will get in an argument, and that's why when I say this, the early church had incredible, because they gathered around the principles of God. You know, not they didn't so much gather around things that were happening. They gathered around the principles of God. So commitment became huge, because when you're like, I'm committed to Julia. I'm committed in marriage. We have mess. Oh no, we don't, baby. Do we? Do we? No, we'll retract that word. We have small arguments.
Oh no, we have big ones.
Big ones, okay. Now, big enough. There's been times when she's left the house. I know none of you can believe that. One time she went out and jumped in the car, I think I told you the story, and I heard the V8 rev up and off she was going, so I ran out too and jumped in the passenger side, we both went together. That's called commitment. So we're going down the road at a blinding speed, here come the musicians, my time's up, and we're going down the road at a blinding speed, and then I saw some donkeys in the field, and I said, would they be relations of yours, baby? And she screamed out, yes, they are, by marriage. And we've been living happily ever after. What I'm trying to say to you there, that unity, it's basic foundation. What's the core thing of unity? It would be commitment. Because we're committed, we can have an argument or a disagreement, but we gather together around our commitment for the cause of our marriage, for the cause of the kingdom and the church, for the cause of souls coming to Christ, for the cause of what God has destined us for. The absolute core of unity is commitment. Are you committed today? And the key out of that, of course, comes agreement. You can look at the Tower of Babel for yourself. It destroyed. Pentecost built. You can. So what do you actually get unifying? If you're unifying around gossip, you need a good kick up the butt. If you're unifying around Pentecost and souls getting saved and what you can do, you need. They gathered. They unified around Babel, and God cursed it. They unified around Pentecost, and God caused them to go out and change the world. That says they turned the world upside down. It really comes down to what you'll unite around. That's why I refuse to unite around negativity or gossip. I steer clear of it and run away from it. In fact, even some people gravitate to the past and nostalgia sets in, or you can gravitate to the future and create momentum. My job is to cause you to point toward the future, which is thousands of souls getting saved, which is churches getting planted, which is the kingdom of God increasing, which is miracles happening, which is people walking down the street here and coming in here and getting born again because they sense that the love of God's in this place. I thought you'd be standing for that. But we're going to finish. I want to give you one more thought, and I want to say this as I finish. Check your unity. Check your unity this morning in one place. What could God do today across New Zealand or your city or your workplace? Because I believe God wants us to step into another dimension. What could God do? And the reality is, if we say as a church right now, I choose to value unity. Come on, let's shout it out. I choose to value unity. That wasn't good enough. Come on, one, two, three. I choose to value unity. Let's yell this one out. I choose to preserve unity. I choose to preserve unity. And then here's another one. We choose to pursue unity. One, two, three. We choose to pursue unity. And I believe, get ready, because unity is about to be an accelerating weapon in this place of the Holy Ghost that ignites souls, healing, restoration. Check your unity this morning. The oil that's in you is your responsibility. The oil that's in you, so if you've got some oil in you, that's your responsibility, okay? But the oil that's on you, because that's a bigger part, the oil that's on you is a responsibility of a decision to unify. And it's bigger than just yourself, it includes others. Are you ready to include some others this morning? Are you ready to include some others? See, a lot of people are anointed internally, but externally dry as an old bone. People wonder why the devil gets them and they fall away and they backslide and they get, this week they go off, next thing they're drinking too much, next thing they're over here sinning, next thing their life's falling apart, everything's falling apart. They wonder why that happened. They got a lot of anointing on the inside, but nothing on the outside because there's no unity. Never turned up at an I group for 2 years, never turned up at a breakfast club for 25 years, never turned up at anything where someone would rub a little iron sharpens iron and wonder why suddenly they disappear because there's no unity, there's no anointing on the outside, there's nothing dripping. The devil can grab you. Me, he slips off like that. His hands can't grip me. I'm too slippery. What do you think Jesus said? Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. As he sweat drops of blood, it says, he sweat, he became greasy under the anointing because he had it on the outside and the inside. And even the narrow portal we call death couldn't hold him, and he rose victorious from the dead. And today I serve a risen Christ who's not dead, but he's alive to change the world. And he's alive today to cause you to walk and not faint. And he's here today to cause you to run and not be weary and be an overcomer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please bow your head? Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the anointing of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that we are going to see a mighty, miraculous miracle in this place. Revival in Jesus' name. Because we will gather together around the unity of the body of Christ. Because you rose from the dead to give us life and hope in Jesus' name. You're not a dead God, you're a living God. And we praise you for that today. I thank you for every person here, for the anointing on their lives. God, for the touch of your spirit on their lives, for the call of God. I thank you that they hear the voice of God. I thank you that this week we will live under the sound of heaven this week, and that in Jesus' name, Lord, we will walk in the victory that you won for us at Calvary in Jesus' mighty name. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Friend, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've come to this meeting today. Maybe someone invited you or someone brought you along, and maybe you just do not know the loving hand. Like Simon, who was sitting beside an airplane. Maybe you've never experienced the love of God. Maybe you've never felt his presence in your life. Maybe you've never ever felt the hope of eternal destiny. Maybe like Simon who was sitting beside me, you've never ever experienced or encountered his love that would invade your heart and dissolve doubt, fear, atheism, and unshackle you from the world and set you free. Maybe you've never felt that freedom, and today in this place you're saying, Don, I need that freedom in my life. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, real quick, lift your hand right now. Don, that's me you're talking to this morning. I need to get right with God. I need to give my life to Christ. I need to make a decision today. If that's you, please just lift your hand real quick across this place. Whoever that is, give me a wave wherever you're sitting. We'll pray for you, believe God for you this morning, and believe that He will encounter you with His love and set you free of sin and set you free of your past and cause you to have a loving relationship with the Father. One more time, I'd like to ask right across this place, friend, if that's you, Don, I'm not right with God. Give me a wave right now. I don't want to miss you. One more time, Don, I need to get right with God. Who is that right now? Jesus. God bless you, honey. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down again. Thank you. You can put your hand down again. Somebody else right now. Somebody else right now. I'm just waiting. I believe there's a guy here today and you're not right with God. And God's saying, man, I want your heart. I want your heart. I want you in unity with me. I want to be able to speak to you. I want you to know my voice. If that's you, just real quick, lift your hand. Yeah, God bless you. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we stand together? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Then I've seriously got to finish. Wayne, because we've got new friends. Oh, we're meant to receive the last of the offering today too. Let me pray first. We're going to pray this prayer right across this church. Let's pray this prayer. Make it your prayer today, will you? If you lifted your hand this morning, please make this your prayer. And I want you to pray it like this. Say, Jesus, I want to thank you. Come on, we're going to do better than that. We're all going to pray together. Jesus, I want to thank you that you have given me the key to unlock my heart to receive your love. Today I ask you to come and live in me. Unshackle me from my past. Fill me with your love today. Let me walk in your blessing. Let me walk in unity with your cause and your purpose in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God a big hand clap.